Welcome to Life Church, where we believe in equipping people for an extraordinary life in Christ through the Word, Spirit, and relationships. We hope this podcast will enlighten and bless you.
We're going to be starting a new series today entitled Secrets, and we'll get into what it means to be giving those secrets away. Getting real with God is where we're going today. But I want to welcome those that are watching on the internet right now. Maybe they couldn't make it out with the snow. Would you just give them a warm good morning? Yep, absolutely. God bless you. We're glad you're safe. Yes, we all risk our lives, but we're glad you're safe enjoying your coffee at home. That's absolutely fine. No, seriously, enjoy the coffee at home. All right. Real quickly, before I get into the word today, I do want to invite you personally to the Holy Spirit Conference next weekend. I'll be preparing our hearts on the Sunday morning service, and I'm so excited about Leon helping us with worship throughout the weekend. It's going to be a great Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night. Make space for that conference. The Lord will show up and come hungry and come ready, and God will meet those needs. So just carve that out. It's going to be life-changing. There are moments in our lives where the Lord just interrupts things and gets to really move us. I hope it's one of those things that moves us leaps and bounds forward up the mountain that we've been talking about, kind of those supernatural advancing seasons. All right, are you ready for the word? Okay, well, grab your Bibles if you would. Hold them up in the air. Repeat this after me. This is my Bible, and I believe what it says. I can have what it says I can have, and I can do what it says I can do. I choose to open my heart and my mind to God's word today. Amen. All right, open up your Bibles if you would, please. We're going to start at Psalms chapter 24. Psalms 24. Let's talk about secrets today. And it actually links to our journey up the mountain. We're still talking about ascending, climbing, elevating to a new level in our walk with God. There are things, goals, dreams, visions, callings that God has for you on those summits, on those mountaintops. But there's things that the Lord is teaching us while we climb. And this is one of those days where the Lord's going to deal with us, because that progression, that journey is supposed to change and transform our lives. But there's an honesty, there's a vulnerability, there's a self-evaluation of what's going on the inside. God wants to make sure that you're not just achieving goals and dreams, but that you're changing and transforming genuinely from the inside out. See, because God is not just concerned about you achieving a goal, becoming wealthy, becoming important or influential, or even just attaining a dream with your family or a house or good health or whatever that might be. God cares about what's going on the inside, that eternal part of you, the who you are. What's great about our King and the kingdom is that God doesn't just use us to fulfill purposes, like little worker bees, and he doesn't care about what happens to us. God, in us fulfilling purposes of God, he knows that our lives are being increased, which is great, so he's not using us like that. Isn't that great? But beyond that, he also cares about the quality of individual we're becoming. It's not just about the agenda. It's not just about the goal. God cares about the worker. That's the way life should be. Amen? For those of you that are employers or you lead business, may you not just care about the bottom line, but we care about the quality of the living and the growth of our employees. And the Lord's that way with his, because we're children. We're not just workers for God. We're his kids. And so God cares about not just the summit, but the climber and what's going on inside of our hearts. And so here in Psalms chapter 24, verse 3, in the beginning of 4, I just want to point this out to you in talking about ascending. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. And that's where I want to talk today, is about the pure heart. What's going on in your heart matters to God. There's something about this authentic heart, this open heart, this vulnerable heart where God can come in and fix things and come in and if there's any impurities in it, deal with those impurities. That's all part of us climbing the mountain of God. Again, it's not just learning the skills and techniques and the knowledge to climb. Part of getting up the mountain of God is the purity that's going on in our heart. That's part of the journey. And so that's where we are today. Where is our heart before God? Today I want to do some heart work, if that's okay. You've come on a great day to do some real business with God and to really get on the inside of your heart, to take a look at it and to say, what's really going on in here? Because it affects everything. It's not just the climb. It affects everything. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. I don't know if it's on your screen because I added it late. Write it in your notes, though, because you can look at it later. The Bible has so many verses about the heart and its importance. This one says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So basically, whatever's going on the inside of your heart is the real you. Sometimes we put up fronts, sometimes we put up false faces, we put up nice smiles, even in church, which that's really disappointing. I really wish the church one day, and I believe it will be, I think we're moving into an age of authenticity, but where people feel like they have to pretend when they come to church. This is the best place to be honest. This is where you give those secrets away. You don't have to hide in the presence of the Lord, and we'll get to that. First of all, it's impossible. Do you realize it's an impossibility to hide from the Lord? But yet we think we're hiding. And so today we're going to talk about getting real with what's going on in our hearts, because whatever's going on in your heart is the real you. No matter how much makeup you put on, no matter how much you try to make yourself look good on the outside, the real you is what's going on in here. And that's the you that God's trying to reach today. And that's the you that God wants to stand on that summit. He wants to make a quality real you on the inside so that when you stand on that summit, you can stay there and you can be a blessing there and you can be an example there. And it's a healthy thing. See, if you're unhealthy, let's say in your integrity or in your walk with God, and God blesses you with influence, that influence will crush you. And that influence will also be damaging to other people because you didn't deal with the junk on the way up the mountain. Are you understanding what I'm saying? God wants to promote you. God wants to make you a leader. God wants to give you all this. But if you stay with all these secret sins and secret false beliefs on the inside and all the dirt that you try to hide, that dirt will affect someone at some point, and it will affect the climb in general and the overall goal. And so we have to deal. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And so we're doing what Psalms 51 says today. That's where we're headed. Psalms 51, verse 6. From the Amplified Bible, it says it like this. Behold, you desire, talking about God, you desire truth in the innermost being. In the hidden part of my heart, you will make me know wisdom. You know, there's hidden parts of our hearts. Isn't that funny? There's these places that are hidden sometimes even to ourselves until we stop and take a look around every corner. Things that we take for granted that, oh, they're not there, or that issue or that belief system, that doesn't affect me, that doesn't bother me. But when something's hidden, you gotta go looking for it. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You need to do some research. You need to go in and look around a little bit. And the Bible says here that God desires truth inside of that innermost being. Well, why would he desire truth there? Because inside your heart, whether you realize it or not, it has a tendency to pick up lies. Are you hearing me? It has a tendency to pick up false truths, things it believes to be true, but actually are lies. And they bind you, and they make you smaller than you're supposed to be. And they hinder you in your marriage. They hinder you as a mom or as a dad. They hinder you as you try to run for dreams and goals. These false beliefs, these false truths on the inside are damaging. They're hindering you. And so God is saying, I desire truth in there. And if you're not careful, if you don't put truth in there, you're going to pick up lies along the way. It's just the way life is. You know, sometimes we don't realize how much our heart affects everything. Our heart gets really touchy and really sensitive. And sometimes we don't realize, why am I so irritated? It's like something barely touches you, right? And you just start going like, rah, on people. Like, what's going on? Why are they so touchy? A lot of the times, the reason we're so touchy is not because we're actually a bad person. Actually, a very nice person. But what happens is our heart gets so full of disappointments. Our heart gets so full of failures. Our heart gets so full of offense and bitterness and all kinds of things. So it's like barely anything can set us off. Why are we always giving up all the time? Why do we quit all the time? Is it because you were born a quitter? No, it's because of stuff, truths and things that have gone on, belief systems that you've accepted, things that have happened to you in the journey that have all been stored in this heart. And so now this heart is like this swollen, sensitive part of our life, and any little thing seems to affect it and irritate it. Are you understanding that? Well, thank you, that one. Thank you very much. But we can deal with it. This is what's awesome, is if we can bring truth in there, we can make our heart calm and strong and adaptable and dream again and be healthy, so that even if somebody, we use the phrase bump our cup, someone bumps our cup or something happens that's disappointing, our heart doesn't react in a way that is so hostile or volatile or sensitive, because there's truth in there that stabilizes us. that helps us to know the truth when there's all kinds of darkness or clouds or things that happen or weapons are formed against us. We don't receive them the same way when our heart is unhealthy. It is full of junk. It is full of fears. It is full of disappointment. Our heart is not so sensitive. So God is desiring truth in our innermost parts to bring wisdom, his wisdom, there. The King James Version says that, God, you desire truth in my inward parts. That's honesty. That's what we're hitting today. That's what we talked about. I want to give all of those secrets away to God. Those secrets, those things I'm withholding from God are not helping me. Those things I think I'm keeping myself safe, or I'm reserving that and hiding that peace from God, or I don't want to deal with that, those things are not making our lives better. Truth needs to replace those lies, and that's where freedom comes in. Why does God want truth in your innermost heart? Because only truth can make you free inside of your heart. See, holding on to wrong beliefs, holding on to those hurts, holding on to that sin, holding on to that bitterness or bondage, holding on to those offenses, that's not making you safe. That's not making you better. It's keeping you in a bondage. And the only way to get free is to replace that false truth with God's truth, and truth will make you free indeed. That's why God wants truth in there, because he knows you're living in a level of bondage. He knows your, see, those false beliefs, those things that have been hiding in your heart that you may not even be currently aware of because you haven't looked at them in a while, but yet they still affect you. They're like chains that are on you. So here you're trying to get to the mountaintop, you're trying to get to the summit, and it seems like every time you get a certain level, you get pulled back down by an old mindset, by an old attitude, a familiar spirit, whatever you want to call it. It's because there's a lie, there's a bondage, there's some secret thing hidden in your heart that truth can come in and unlock you and set you free so you can finally go to the next level. But it won't happen until we deal with those false truths and replace them with God's truth. Are you hearing me today? Amen. I mean, the people at home right now are shouting, coffee's going everywhere. They are so excited at home. Clean it up later. Leave it on the floor. It's fine. Don't want you to miss anything. God wants truth there because it will bring freedom to you. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. This is your responsibility now, this whole idea of heart care. Keep your heart with all diligence. There's a consistency in that. There's effort in that. There's responsibility in that. You keep your heart. You do heart work. You take care of what's going on the inside of you. For out of that heart flows all the issues of life. We sometimes forget how important what's going on in here. It affects your marriage. I want every Life Church member to have the best marriage as possible, but I'll tell you one thing that's linked to your good marriage is that we take good care of what's going on the inside of your heart. Because you can want a good marriage, but if you have all these secrets inside of your heart, that's going to affect your marriage. It's going to affect you as a mom and as a dad. You know what's going to make you a strong mom or dad or a strong spouse is getting real with God of what's going on the inside of your heart and letting God put truth there and replace the lies with truth and set you free. That's going to be a great benefit. Everything flows out of your heart. Even the way you work, your attitude at work. You know, if you come to work with a positive attitude and faith and you're a good worker, you're going to get promoted, praise God. But if you come in full of hurt and disappointment and negativity, and you're always looking for excuses of why not to work, maybe because there's all kinds of disappointments or offenses or hurts in here, or who knows why you're going to work that way, do you understand? It affects your job performance. It affects you climbing the mountain. Your heart affects everything. So it doesn't matter how much you learn, how much you prepare. If you don't deal with the secrets in your heart, it affects everything. Out of your heart flows all the issues of life. Now that word keep about your heart. There's two ideas in that word, two concepts. The first one would be that of a gardener. Now a gardener, in keeping a garden, is watering a garden, is feeding a garden, is keeping weeds out and pulling weeds when they're discovered, right? Keeping little rascally things out, pests and things out of the garden. There's a responsibility to keep your heart, to pay attention that good things are going in. And if a bad thing arrives or comes in, then you do the effort, do the work to get it out as fast as possible. Amen. Don't let the weeds fester. Don't let the secrets fester. Don't let the wounds and the hurts and the sins fester. Remove them as fast as possible because they're going to They're going to hinder your production. They're going to hinder your fruitfulness. Are you hearing me? That's keeping your heart. Keeping would also be the word guarding, like guarding of a fortress or guarding of a castle or something. You not only is you say, Holy Spirit, guard my heart, you have to guard your heart too. That's the Holy Spirit's job. It's your job too. Amen. Amen, Pastor Kevin. That's really good. I know. That was an awesome thought. Awesome thought. We keep our hearts. We guard our hearts because we know how important what's going on in that heart affects absolutely everything. There's a parable I want to talk to you about because it kind of connects to this idea of gardening, this idea of keeping, that Jesus talked about the kingdom of God. It was found in Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 through 26. Jesus says this about this field that he owns. He said, Jesus presented another parable to them saying, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed tares, or you might say thorns or thistles, into or among the wheat. And then they went away. The enemy went away. But when the wheat sprouted and bore grain, then the tares became evident also. The reason I bring that up is because in all of our lives, there are times where we're not looking and the enemy in life sows bad seed into our heart. Now, I'm not saying that these workers weren't allowed to take a nap or weren't allowed to be restful or who knows what. In this illustration, the enemy came in while they were sleeping. But the point I'm trying to make is this. At some point in our lives, negative feelings, false truths, bitterness, resentment, sins that we didn't even realize we were committing that have come in. Sometimes we do realize we're committing them. We do them deliberately, sometimes unintentionally. But some point when you're not looking, the enemy is always looking for an opportunity when you're not looking to throw some negative seed, some negative hurt, some negative thorns and thistles into your field. So what are you going to do about it? In keeping your heart with all diligence, in keeping and guarding your heart, you begin to then replace those false seeds. You begin to replace those false truths with the truth of the Word of God. We begin to address them. We don't just leave them there. Are you understanding what I'm saying? But the tactic of the enemy is when you're not looking to throw his seed into your heart. Are you understanding that? And so what we have to do sometimes is go inside of our hearts and look around. That's what today's about. Today is about you stopping for about an hour or so and starting to think about what is going on in here. Why have I been so sensitive? Why am I barking at my wife and the kids and the dog and the whatever? Why am I so irritated? Why have I been so cranky? Why have I been so gloomy? Why am I living the Eeyore life? You know what I'm saying? What happened to me? I used to be awesome. I don't even like me. What is going on? Sometimes what I'm challenging us to do right now is to go inside of our own hearts and look around and see what's in there. And sometimes when you go inside your heart, sometimes you haven't been in here in a while. You know what I'm saying? And you're like, what is all of this stuff that is inside of my heart? I didn't even realize it was in here. You know, inside of your heart, you have things that happened in your childhood inside of your heart. Memories, good memories, but there also might be some disappointments in there. Inside of your heart, we might have maybe one marriage. Some of you have two marriages or so inside of your heart, and that can affect us. You realize that. It can affect how we feel. It can affect our self-confidence. It can affect everything. It can affect our expectation of the future. Do we have confidence things are going to work out, or are we just waiting for the shoe to drop? Well, have we dealt with God and with his truth, those areas in our lives? In our hearts, we may not realize it, but we have all kinds of books and materials and periodicals that people have given us their opinion about how you should live and what love looks like and what it means to be popular or famous and things like that. Inside of our heart, we have CDs and music and all kinds of movie stars and people who try to tell us what to look like and what to live and what to value. Same thing, magazines and things that people have put in front of our faces. There's so many things in here. There's old friendships, people that have walked out on us, people who've hurt us. There's all kinds of stuff that goes on inside of our heart. And if we're not careful, we don't realize all of this stuff affects us. And what in the world even is this thing and why is it in there? It scares me looking at it. It's terrifying in there. It's just a simple illustration. What I'm trying to help you see is you've gone through stuff. And what are we doing with all those things that have happened to us in our lives and those belief systems we've created based on the journey? Sometimes what we try to do is ignore them like they're not there. Like, let's ignore the first marriage and the second marriage or the whatever that happened, rather than dealing with the things that hurt us in those journeys, right? Ignoring it doesn't make it go away. Or let's try to outrun the fears of your childhood when people would make fun of you on the basketball court or they didn't pick you on the kickball team. You were always the last one picked and they would argue who got you. You take him. I don't know. You take him. Are you understanding this? Have we gone in there? That's the Bible says he desires truth in my innermost being. So we need to go in there and find the lies and replace the lies with God's truth. It's not about stuffing truth in the same space that holds lies. It's about exchanging the lie for truth. Man, that was really powerful. See, because to have both at one time makes you double-minded, which means you'll be unstable in your Christianity because you're going to be a person of two minds. You're trying to accept what God says, but you're holding on to what the hurt or the pain or the experience told you. You have to let go of one and replace it with the other. They do not occupy the same space. Amen. How does this stuff affect your belief systems? Sometimes we don't think it does, but it does. We don't see the world as it is. We see the world as we are. There's a world in front of all of us, and some people will walk into that world and they will say, "This world stinks." And then someone else will walk and stand in the same world and say, "This world is full of opportunity and amazing." You see, they're not really talking about the real world. They're talking about the world according to their perception. The world according to what their heart sees based on its own beliefs and the pains and the things it's learned along the way, its lenses that it's picked up along the way. It really has nothing to do with the world. It has everything to do with their heart, and out of their heart flows all the issues of the life they're going to live. Are you understanding? And so my challenge to you, even church, your life with God, everything, we don't see it as it really is. The way God sees Christianity, the way God sees church, the way God sees your future and your potential is way higher than many of us are able to see. Why? Because we're looking through a heart full of lies and hurt and disappointment and fears and insecurities, and God is looking without all that stuff. Man, that was really powerful too, Pastor Kevin. You're on it today. I know I am. I am rocking this message today. We don't see the world as it is. We see it as we are. Even the sermon right now that I'm preaching, if you understand this, 1 year from now, if you heard the same sermon, it would look and sound totally different from you, and it's the exact same sermon. Why? Because you're hearing it and you're seeing it from where you are right now currently on your journey. With your current issues, your current needs, your current hopes, your current disappointments. So you're hearing a sermon through whatever's going on in your heart right now. So listen to this a year from now, and you'll be like, "Man, I don't even remember him preaching this." Because it's going to be so different a year from now. We do not see things the way they are. We see them the way we are. That's why it's so important that we deal with who we are deep down on the inside. The reason God desires truth in my innermost parts is because false truths and beliefs are constantly trying to reside there. See, in the idea of tending a garden and the idea of keeping a garden, I love that because it's not one and done. It's not, okay, I dealt with the weed last year. I will consistently watch. I will consistently guard. I will consistently tend, because the enemy will consistently try to throw and sow false beliefs and false truths through experience or through life into my heart. So God desires truth in your innermost parts because false truths and beliefs are constantly trying to reside there. The reason I've called these things false truths and not lies is because we don't know they're lies. They are things that we actually believe to be true because they feel true to us, or because we had a genuine experience and we've called that experience true. The truth is, it's really complicated when you start using this truth and truth and truth. Listen to this. I call them false truths because the worst part about deception is that it's so deceiving. Like, you don't know you're deceived when you're deceived. And so let's say you're living life through hurt and pain and rejection of your childhood or whatever, or a marriage or a disappointment, or you lost a loved one, you lost a child in early death or something. You don't realize that you're seeing and making truth based on those things that are going on in your heart. There are assumptions that we've made. There are belief systems about ourselves that we've made based on being hurt in high school or hurt in college. And now you believe what those people said about you in high school and college was true. When they rejected you there, you feel you're an adult now and you still walk around with a spirit of rejection. That is your truth, but that's a lie. You are not rejected, you are accepted, and you are valuable, and you are gifted, and you are a child of God, but yet you walk around with a belief, which to you is true, that you're insignificant, or you're less than you really are, because of a secret thing that's going on in your heart, and only God's truth in there can set you free. But you will have to let go of that false truth that you're not something, and accept His truth that you are something, and then live from that place. Amen. But it's powerful when you use the idea of false truth, because to you it feels real. It feels like it's truth. It's the life you've created because you live out of what you believe. So we have to be very careful about the belief systems and the truths that we've adopted, and always take them back to the truth of God's word, which supersedes our experiences and other people's opinions and things we feel to be true. Let God be true and every other voice a liar. Amen. Let me give you two examples of picking up false truths. Two examples of picking up false truths. In everyday life, we pick up false truths. An extreme example might be people have attended a church, and in that church, they were hurt. In that church, somebody wounded them. In that church, a pastor lied and didn't act in integrity. So they walk out of church, and now a false truth they believe is all people that go to church are hypocrites. Every church is a waste of time. Every pastor is untrustworthy. To them, they're living out of what they believe to be true, but based on an experience that they had. Are you seeing what I'm saying? To them, that's true, but it's not true. The house of the Lord can be amazing and healthy and advance your life and advance your family and make you so much better. And pastors can be full of character and full of revelation, and they could be funny and they could be Italian and they could be just full of all kinds of great things, and you're gonna miss out on it. But do you see what I'm saying? They had an experience and now they've built a truth and they live out of that truth. It's a false truth. And then what do? They even teach their children the same thing. Church is a waste of time. It's full of hypocrites in there. That's a lie. But to them, they believe it to be true. That happens all the time in all kinds of situations and circumstances. Another way people develop truths, if you're not careful, is our family origin, where we've come from, how things were when we were growing up, the way we were raised, the home environment. There's all kinds of things that we've put in our hearts that we've picked up to believe that's the way it is, based on just the way we were raised. One example might be the way mom and dad interacted when you were a kid growing up. And to you, that becomes your belief system. Maybe dad was a little distant or aloof, and he didn't show mom that much affection. And maybe as a young man growing up, you think that's truth. That's the way a husband is, that we don't show that much affection to our spouse in front of our kids, that somehow that's not appropriate. You see, that's not necessarily true, but it might have been made true to you based on the family origin that you came from. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And so your dad might have looked at your mom and say, you know, I don't tell you I love you all the time. I told you once. If it ever changes, I'll let you know. That's terrible. But that could be a false truth that you picked up, that mom and dad aren't supposed to be affectionate in public. I'll tell you this. I would say, mom, dad, you need to take mom in your arms, bend her over your arm like that, give her a big kiss, make the kids feel really uncomfortable and grossed out. And if they're like, ooh, gross, you say, how do you think you got here in the first place? And you just show that affection publicly and give them a new truth that saying you love them, being expressive in your love for one another is a positive thing. And let's raise a different generation. You see what I'm saying? But you see, so many times based on our family of origin or where we were raised, we can pick up truths and we can live out of those truths, but they don't, that's not necessarily true. But it's just based on things that we can deal with. Why haven't I been affectionate to my wife and expressed affection or verbal affirmation? Why have I been? Is it because of the way I was raised? It was because of the way my siblings were, my home life was. You need to go in here. We can resolve it. Amen. That's what God is trying to say, is you don't have to live in that level or in that mindset. You can go into your heart and you can see where there might have been missteps or misbeliefs or false truths, and you can replace them with God truths. Amen. See, the bottom line, I'm going to go through all kinds of ways we develop truth in our life, but the bottom line is this. There's a lot going on the inside of you. There's a lot of stuff in there. Even during the preaching of the word, or even while you read your Bibles at home, you know, there's a lot going on in here. It's not just as easy as me presenting truth to you and you saying, oh, that's great, it's wonderful, and then it's all done. No, there's effort that has to happen here. As I'm presenting truth to you, you make a decision to grab a hold of that and find where the lack of truth or the false truth is. And so you're searching and you're comparing your own heart and your own emotions and your own feelings. You go in here, you take time, and you begin to do the exchange. Even at home, when you're reading your Bibles, it's not just as easy as, oh, I read my Bible, it's gonna make a difference. No, it's about reading it, meditate. What do you think meditation is? Meditating is seeing, comparing what's in here with the mirror of what God is showing you, and then you're exchanging the false truth for the truth of the Word of God. See, if you don't do that, it's just tradition. It's just gonna fall short. You're like, well, I read my Bible every day. Yeah, but have you applied that truth? Have you searched your heart to see how that truth needs to replace the lie? Have you discovered any false truth or lie in you, and you've accepted that new truth? If you don't do the work at it, it's like you're throwing it on you, but it's falling right off because you've gotta bring it into your heart. Amen. God can only cover what you uncover. God can only cover what you uncover, what you open up and you say, okay, Lord, if you don't do that, God can't get in there and fix it for you. God can only free or heal you from what you're truthful about. He only takes the stuff you give him, not the stuff you hide from him. Which is why we started with the idea of secrets and giving those secrets away. There is something on our part that we are required to do. God cannot cover what you don't uncover. God does not take your secret things away from you. He waits for you to give them to him. Amen. Let me give you an example. There's a story in John chapter 4. You can open up your Bibles there to John chapter 4. I won't read the whole thing based on time. But a powerful story, an encounter with Jesus. And there's this woman who comes out from Samaria to draw water at a well. The disciples leave. This is verses 7 through 20. The disciples leave to go find food and probably something to drink or whatever to refresh themselves. And Jesus is hanging out by this well. And all of a sudden, this woman comes out. And Jesus begins to talk to her. And there's all kinds of teachings on it. And why was Jesus talking to this woman? And why was she coming out at that time of the day? Why wasn't she with all the other women when they normally come out? There's all these speculations and things like that going on with this. A lot of times people will say, this woman must have been a prostitute. She must have been an adulterous woman. And I'm going to address that in just a second. But what I want to show you in this conversation is Jesus and this woman begin to talk. And I believe Jesus is very intentional about everything he does. And begins to address this lady, and he says, go get your husband, and let's bring him out here to have a conversation. And she says, well, I don't have a husband. He says, you're right, you don't have a husband. He says, matter of fact, you've had five husbands, and the person you're with now isn't even your husband. You're living with him. And then the woman, if you look in your Bibles, I believe that exchange happens right here in verse 16. Go call your husband to come here. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. He says, you've answered correctly that you have no husband, for you've had five, and the one you are with now is not your husband. This you said truly. The woman said to him, sir, I perceive you're a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you people say that in Jerusalem is the place where you ought to worship. What happened here? Jesus touched something in her heart, and what did she do? She deflected. He's talking about her husbands, and she's like, let's talk about Jerusalem and worship in the future. And here's Jesus. He's like, I want to talk about your husbands. And she's like, let's talk about other theology. Husbands, worship. Husbands, Jerusalem. Husbands, Abraham. Anything but my husbands. What is Jesus trying to do? He's trying to get her to what? Open up and uncover. Maybe the Lord's doing that with you today. He wants to talk to you about the secret place, the secret sins, the secret belief systems, these things that have caused you pain, insecurity. Stop deflecting, because he can't heal what you don't uncover and what you don't give him. Are you understanding what I'm saying? See, now let me talk to you about this woman. Was she an adulterous woman? Was she a prostitute? I don't know. But I did read something that was really interesting, which kind of spoke on the opposite, that she wasn't a prostitute or an adulteress. A couple reasons why. For one, the city, in their laws and ordinances, if she was an adulterous woman, would have stoned her and killed her at some point before she got through five husbands. It's an interesting thought. But probably the most interesting kind of witness that would say she probably was an adulterous woman, she probably was not a prostitute, was this. If you go to verse 39 through 42, the woman, after having an encounter with Jesus, goes back to her town and tells the town about this prophet that she met. And the Bible says that the whole town, because of the woman's testimony, went out to see Jesus. Now, do you understand? A prostitute, an adulterous woman, would not have that kind of influence over a town in Samaria in that period of time. A prostitute could say whatever they want, and everyone's not sitting there listening, saying, hey, that's a credible person. Let's all take our day and go follow what she has to say. Are you understanding that? So this woman had some sort of credibility with her town, which would not have been hers if she was a prostitute or an adulterous woman. Probably what happened was this. She had five husbands. Now, in that generation, in that culture, if a husband dies, then a brother or a close family member is supposed to step in and take the position of the head of that house and take her as his spouse so that she has support and a hope and a future and an income and all that kind of stuff. So now this picture looks a little different. If she's not some sinful, adulterous, prostitute type person, but she has now had five husbands, which means they've all died. Think about the hurt in that. Think about the sense of loss and instability in that. To the point now where she doesn't even want to get married anymore because she's worried that if I get married, he's going to die. Losing one spouse is super traumatic. But now thinking about losing two spouses and three. Think about the fear that's in there. Think about the idea of instability that's in there. Think about the insecurities that are in there. So here Jesus is touching on this woman that has a lot of fear, a lot of pain, a lot of sense of loss in her life. Now, even if she was a prostitute, even if she was an adulteress, there's still a lot of junk that goes with that. But what I'm trying to say is whether she was a prostitute or an adulteress or whether she experienced so many traumatic things in her life, it's all still in there. Come on. It's all still in there. And what happened? Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life, is touching on her heart, saying, will you let me in there? And she deflected. It wasn't until she opened up and received was he able to come in, and it changed her life. And then she went back and testified and ended up changing a bunch of other people's lives in the process. You see, Jesus can only cover what you uncover. In her being truthful, saying, this man isn't my husband, she was opening up her heart to uncover and to say, there's hurt in there. Jesus, the truth was there. She tried to avoid the issues in her heart. Truth was trying to get to her, but she was tripping over the stuff from her past. So Pastor Kevin, what do I do with my false truths? What do I do with what's going on in my heart? What I've believed about myself? What I've believed about God? Do you understand? Some of your truths about God may be inaccurate. You might have expectations and assumptions about God that don't line up with His word, but it's based on an experience or based on what your mom or dad told you or based on what society has told you. What do I do with my false truths and beliefs about myself, about God, about life and others, even about right and wrong? Three things. Write these down. Number one, you identify them. What is it that I believe? What is it that's going on in there? Go in and look around a little bit. Where did it come from? Let's identify it. Why do I believe that? Did it come from mom and dad? Did it come from my childhood? Did it come from a divorce? Did it come from losing my job? Did it come from a hurt or a wound when I was in high school or college? Did it come from me sinning and making a mistake that I haven't released myself from? Where did it come from? What is in there? Then number two, you compare it. Compare it to God's word. Now that's going to take some work on your part. This is all climbing the mountain stuff, everybody. It means you're going to have to know God's word. You have to take time and read God's word and look for what God says about certain areas of your life, certain feelings, emotions, belief systems. And that's going to take some time, but that's okay because it's worth doing. Identify, compare with God's word, and then finally, like I said earlier, you exchange it. You exchange it. And in exchanging it, you're saying, I trust you, God, and I offer you my false truth on the altar. And then I take your truth instead. Just really last thought, and I'm done. Brock, you can come. Being honest with God is not so much about being honest with God. It's about being honest with yourself, okay? Because the truth is, when you're honest with God is not when He finds out about what's in there. Just like the woman. He knew she had had five husbands. And so it's not like when you're honest before God is when He's finding out about those issues. It's not like you're going to shock Him. It's like, well, if I open up, I may scare God off. He already knows what's in there. What's cool about God is He already knows the sin in there. He knows the false truth in there. He knows the issues and concerns in there. He's not scared. That's why He's touching on it. That's so cool that He already knows what He's getting into. You know, sometimes you get into a relationship and you didn't know what you're getting into and you're like, I married a crazy person. God knows what He's getting into when He wants to bring us into union with Himself. He knows everything about us. He knows every thought, every sin, everything. And so in being honest with God is not about God finding out about it. It's about you being honest with yourself and then bringing that to God. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13, and not a creature exists that is concealed from His sight, but all things are open and exposed and revealed to the eyes of Him with whom we have to give account. The Bible's very clear that God already sees everything. So now it's about you being honest with yourself and presenting those things to God. Psalms chapter 90, verse 8 says it like this, you have placed our wickedness before you. Our secret sins, which we tried to conceal, you have placed in the revealing light of your presence. God is not intimidated or scared about the stuff that's in here. He's just waiting for you to give it to Him, waiting for you to be honest with you and be honest with Him and present it on His altar. Today, I hope to give you a Philippians 3:13 moment, which is a letting go of what lies behind moment. That's what today's about. We forget that this hurt, wounded, fearful, angry, sad, negative person is not the real you. Sometimes we've lived this way so long, we forgot what we were like before the clouds came in. It's not the real you. And even if you've been like this since you were very young, the real you was sent here by design. The real you was made and formed by God. These other things came in the journey that you've been on. Tears were sown into your heart. Or maybe they're even self-inflicted things that you've put in your own life. I'm here to remind you today that there is a joyful dreamer on the inside of you. You are a person that is full of faith and a desire to help others. You know you can make a difference. Your life has purpose. You have something to give. Inside of you is laughter and love and generosity and acts of courage. Inside of you is a man or woman of God full of goodness and strength. The real you looks like Jesus. The real you looks like what was in the Father's mind when he made you and placed you in your mother's womb. The real you is the you that Jesus died for. The real you was designed in the mind of God, not fashioned by life and circumstances. Are you ready to discover who you really are? Amen. I believe your family and those that you're called to minister to deserve the opportunity to meet the real you that's been forgotten or has been tainted by all this stuff. Let's get this stuff out and let's go become that real version of ourselves that Jesus is creating. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. If you'd like to find out more about Life Church, visit www.lifechurchag.com and engage with us on social media at Life Church AG on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.